Welcome back for episode 3 of the KRUCS podcast, Calvin Theological Seminary's student podcast. I'm Christiane, your producer, and we hope that you're all staying healthy during this coronavirus time. It's a really tough time right now since the world sort of changed overnight and a lot of people are afraid right now. They're anxious, uncertain, all of these stressful emotions. So we thought how timely it was, by God's providence, that our next guest in our third episode is third-year MDiv student Anastas Zabunimba. In this episode, you'll get to hear about how Anastas became a Christian, his experiences with the wars and genocides of Rwanda and the Congo, hiding in the Congolian rainforests for an entire year, how he miraculously came to Calvin Seminary, and hopefully throughout it all, you'll just hear what it looks like to trust God and his faithfulness and his goodness from a firsthand perspective, even in the midst of intense suffering, fear, and uncertainty. So Eric and I say wow so many times when listening to Anastas, because the way that God has rescued him throughout his life and provided for him and guided him is just such an amazing testimony of who God is. We actually recorded this episode with Anastas a few months ago, before the coronavirus pandemic hit, so it's interesting that the day we decided to publish this episode is during a time when his story is needed most. So, we hope this episode encourages you and challenges you to trust God as your faith is stretched during this time. Please make sure to subscribe to the KRUCS podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, if you can give us a 5-star rating and comment, that would be great as well. So without further ado, we hope you enjoy hearing from Anastas.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Back at it again, and very pleased to have another episode of the KRUCS podcast, the student-run podcast of Calvin Seminary. Our publication is called KRUCS. You can find us at calvinseminary.edu/KRUCS. Submit some articles, some poetry, some short stories, things like that, to Nathaniel at KRUCS at calvinseminary.edu. And welcome to the podcast. To my right, we have Christiane.
What up?
The producer.
The cool person.
And across the desk from us, we have Anastas. And You just told me you're in your third year?
Yes.
And of the MDiv program?
Oh, MDiv program, yes.
And you're looking to graduate this spring?
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can do the 3-year or the 4-year. So.
4-year, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm super grateful to have you and to be able to chat with you.
I'm also happy to be here and to share with you.
Oh, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's such a privilege to chat with you in class. The few times we had Creeds and Confessions class together.
Yes.
We've had a few other classes together over our time here. And I just appreciate the little bits that I've heard of your story.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'd love for you to share. You don't have to feel you can share however much or however little you want.
Yes.
No pressure, but I'd love to hear a bit more of your story.
Okay.
And we'll start there. How did you end up at Calvin Seminary? What's the journey of faith that led you here?
Okay. Maybe I would just begin behind.
Yeah.
So that I can just give you the overview of my life and how I end up to be here.
Yeah.
Of course, it has a beginning and has a history behind.
Mm.
So my name is Anastas Nzabunimba. Nzabunimba is a Kinyarwanda name given by the parents. Of course, Anastas is a Christian name, which I chose when I grew up, when I was in P6. They had given me Vincent, and I just changed when I was going to be confirmed. I said, no, Anastas sounds cool. So I changed.
How old were you, did you say?
I was in P6.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was going to be confirmed.
Okay.
I was born a Catholic. I was raised up a Catholic. I went to Catholic schools. And in 1994, genocide happened in my country.
Mm.
Then it happened that I could not continue my studies in major seminary to become a priest.
To be a Catholic priest?
A Catholic
priest, okay.
Yes. Yes. Then in my high school, the system is different from here. In our system by then, we could go to school and you start learning a profession in high school.
Okay.
If you'll be a teacher, you go for teaching. If you'll be a lawyer, you go for law. If you'll be a medical doctor, sometimes you start with sciences or you go immediately for medical sciences as a course. And we could study 8 years in primary and 6 years in secondary school. We could just finish secondary school when we are men at 22, 23 or 24, capable to enter into the job market. And mostly the government was the sole employer.
Okay.
Then I happened to do law and administration and in a Catholic school. So when I completed, I joined the White Fathers to become a priest and a missionary. White Fathers is a congregation of priests, Catholic priests.
Okay.
So when I joined them, it was early 1992 when I completed my high school. The genocide came in 1994.
Oh, wow.
But basically, the war had begun earlier, 1990. But the climax of that war was genocide, where two groups clashed and the other group killed the other group. So it was a messy, it was a very detrimental situation for the country and for the world in general.
Yeah,
it was really terrible. By then, I was 21, 22 years.
Wow.
And I saw everything unfolding. It was horrible. It was terrible. It was unspeakable. It was unbearable. It was not really something you would wish not only to see, but even to hear about or to hear of. So what happened then, I went to Congo as a result of war. But when I reached Congo again, I joined another Catholic parish. I didn't want my dream to die. So I joined a Catholic parish where I initiated again the journey. I spoke to my parish priest. Then I explained who I was and where I was and what I want to pursue. And they accepted me again in the parish. They said, as you are here, continue to nurture your dream and we shall help you. Then by then, I remained there. I could serve in the church. I could teach in the school. Then time came when I was supposed to travel to Europe, according to what they were telling me. They were telling me, now, we shall make sure you go to Italy and you continue your studies. Maybe, God willing, you'll become a priest. So it didn't happen because in 1995, if I remember well, in Congo again erupted another war to topple or to remove Mobutu Sese Seko, who was the president by then. So that war was again as terrible as the one which took place in Rwanda, because the same things happened the other side. There was again another group which came from my country, which was living there. Then there is another group which came again. They clashed again. The misunderstandings that we left behind in my country followed us. And the war was terrible. People died again. People killed each other again. And it was an armed conflict because soldiers also were involved. And people died. Now begins again another episode of my journey to become a born-again Christian.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Now, remember, in a Catholic priest parish with the Catholic priests, and my understanding was, from here, I'm moving to another stage and I will continue with my studies and eventually become a Catholic priest. Now, the war comes in and the war forces us to run away. But prior to running away, I had a voice. That's very important. I had a voice speaking to me, telling me that I know you and I chose you and I will protect you and I will be with you and nothing will harm you. Whatever happened, happened. But that voice told me, I will just protect you and I'll be with you and nothing will happen to you.
Wow.
So it was like a dream. By then, there is a place called Lake Kivu where I was seated, just a kind of meditation. That's the time I had that voice. That's the time I could hear all those words I have told you. That's the time I just could not understand where I was, and my body changed, my mind changed, and I could not understand exactly where I was. It was like I was not in this world. So I left that place because I was a bit terrified. I went into the bed immediately. I slept because I could not understand why the voice told me all that. And yet I want to become a priest. I hear that voice. And that voice was insisting, telling me, you will not continue to be a Catholic. You will not continue to worship me the way you worship me today. Mm. It was so confusing and so disturbing. So I could not understand. And what was going to happen, I didn't know, because that war in Congo had not yet started, had not yet begun. We were there and we were not worried of anything. But this is a voice telling me that I will protect you and I will save you. I will save you because what is going to happen is terrible and I will save you. That I'm not really understanding why.
Yeah. So this is between the first war in Rwanda and the second war in the Congo.
Exactly.
Is when you had your
born-again
situation.
You got it. Then from there, I had a friend who was born again. That friend we used to meet and we used to discuss. He was educated and I was educated. He used to tell me about how Catholic fellows maybe worship idols and other things, and I could convince him. We could have a fair conversation. Mm-hmm. So it happened that when we met, he asked me to have a prayer with him after that voice. I said, how can I pray with you? You are a Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Then he said, no, let's just pray together.
Pentecostals love doing that, don't they?
Exactly, they do.
and it's good, as we'll find out, I'm sure.
Yes. Then this is what happened. I said, no, I can't just pray with you because we are different. You say we pray idols and you abuse us. In other words, how can I? Why don't you come and we pray together?
Mm.
Come to our church, mm-hmm. come to our place.
Mm.
So he said, okay, no problem. Mm. Then after 1 hour, I told him, yes, let's go and pray together. We prayed together. This is what happened.
Mm.
We entered the room, then we prayed. The same words I had when I was alone. The same words I had when I was near the other lake. The same words passed through him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then when they passed through him, I was so amazed.
Yeah.
For him, he closed the eyes, but I didn't close the eyes. I was just looking at him.
Yeah.
Oh, what is happening here?
Yes.
Is he becoming mad? But he's saying exactly the same words I had.
Yes.
And he was not there when I had those words. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tell him about what I had. Then the conclusion was, I'm your God and I will protect you even though you didn't believe what I told you. So it ended. I didn't even tell him that I had had those words.
Oh.
Yeah, I told him later because we moved together.
Yeah.
So now, after like 1 week or 2 weeks, the war began. When the war began, many people started to run away. Then we could not stay where we were staying. We could not stay in that parish. The priest told me, you know, Anastas, we have to leave. We have to go. I said, where am I going? I'm not a priest yet, and this is a war. And what am I going to do? I followed the others. Then we entered the forest, hiding. We entered the forest. I remember very well it was in October 1995. So in October 1995, we entered the forest. In the forest, people died. People died of hunger. Women who were pregnant died because of lack of treatments.
Oh, that's sad.
Those who could produce and maybe eventually could need medical attention died. Others were killed by bullets. And I saw a lot that more than maybe I would have seen in my country.
Yeah.
So people died. But surprisingly, I picked the other word I had. I will protect you.
Yeah.
Then I told God, God, you have now to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the one who said so, I'm in your hands. So people, maybe you have heard stories. I don't know whether you have heard stories. People moved from the side of Congo to another side of it, which is incredible. It's a long, long, long journey. The whole year walking.
Wow.
The whole year wandering. And we were in the forest just wandering, not knowing where we were and not knowing what to do. One, all the clothes we had got torn.
2, we had no food. 3, we had no clean water. It was terrible. God continued to protect me and the group I was with. Wow. And eventually, because we were praying, and now we are relying on God's power and provision and love and mercy, I become the leader of the group.
Wow. How big was the group, Anastas?
The group was like 17 to 20 people.
Okay.
Yeah, including women and men and children. Among these people, what I remember vividly as if it is not, it is happening now, there was a pregnant lady. A pregnant lady who was moving every day with us. I remember very well the day she produced a baby, we were together. And what happened, happened. It was my first time to see a woman producing a baby.
Wow.
Oh,
and whatever happens.
Yeah.
And whatever follows. So I continued to live with those people. Remember, the, no shoes, remember, no clothing. Remember, we are just like animals in the forest. But God is protecting us. God is speaking to us, is inspiring us, always in prayer and showing us what to do and how to do. And I lead that group month out, month in. We spent the whole year wandering day and night because it was in the forest. And the forest, you can't tell whether it is day or night because it is always dark. And the rain, it is always raining. The rain is there and the forest is covered up there. You know, it's a virgin forest. Nothing had happened there. Nobody passed there. The trees have never been cut. It's what we call Ituri Forest. Ituri Forest is a forest which is just a virgin, which has never been cut, which has never been passed through. You cannot penetrate it. But because of fear and because of many people, so we penetrated it and we hide in it for the whole year while we were wandering and moving because there were people who were killing other people.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come into the forest to try to find you for, like, it didn't end. So how long did this war last?
The whole year.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole year. We spent the whole year wandering and moving, but God was faithful. We could reach a place. We could call a home in the forest. Maybe we sit there, we pray to God, we sing to God, and we could feed on like fruits, something like yams, the food in the forest, you know, not no more food. By the end of the year, all of us, we were like malnourished people.
Mm-hmm.
Chicks had grown. Kwashiorkor, you have heard of Kwashiorkor?
No.
Kwashiorkor is a disease of which comes because of being just malnourished.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then the beards had grown. Then the hair has grown.
Mm.
Then do you know lice?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the lice, everybody, you know, when you don't bathe and you don't live a better life, mostly bathing, the hygiene is very, very mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Then the lice everywhere. Mm. They move everywhere. You see someone, we're just almost becoming like animals. Mm. But God was with us. And we could pray, we could worship, and we could just encourage in Him and in Jesus Christ and telling Him, hey, here we are. So this is something very difficult to comprehend, but it's real. Our God is real.
Yeah.
Wow.
God who made Israel to pass through the wilderness is real.
Yeah.
He can do the same today. God who fed them with manna is real. He can do the same today. God who spoke in the cloud is real. He can do it today.
And He does do it.
He does.
That's what I'm getting from your testimony.
Today. Yes.
He can and He does.
He can and He does.
Wow.
Yes. Because I could hear the voice, I could see the vision, and I could lead those people, and we could escape the enemies. Many times we escaped the people who were hunting us, who want to kill us, because I could hear the voice or I could see in the vision. And I could tell those people, hey, people, let's go. And they could not hesitate to follow.
Yeah.
Wow. When I say, let's go, they stand, we move. They sleep here, we sleep there. We moved, we wandered in the forest, and at the end of the day, we came out of the forest. We just came out.
Your Pentecostal friend, was he now with your group? Or
yes, we were together.
He was, okay.
We were together. We used to pray together.
Yep.
His parents were there. My parents were not there. My dad had died. My mom was far away. My brothers and sisters were not with me. Mm-hmm. So I was alone with that group. So eventually we came out of the forest. Eventually we came out and we went back into our country. As God had told us that I will take you back to your country.
Wow.
After a year wandering in the forest, looking like animals, not really in a good shape, we ended up coming back into our country. Then I started to serve God like never before.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, I entered the Pentecostal church. I became a preacher from there. I became a deacon from there. Then time came when God wanted me to come to Uganda.
Okay.
Yes. Always on the move.
Yeah.
So by then...
What year about is this now? So what year was the wandering in the wilderness year?
1995 up to 1996.
Okay.
October. Mm. 5, 6.
Wow, exactly then, 1 year.
Yes, 1 year. Then we came out. Then 1997.
And at that point, was the war...
Yes,
over,
the war, even today, the war is there.
It's still going
on. Yeah, the war is still going on. In the Congo, people are still suffering, and God is still doing miracles, performing miracles. Mm. So what happened, I came to my country. I started to preach the gospel. Later on, I got a job. I worked for the government. I got married in the process. After getting married, God told me, this is your time to move.
To Uganda.
To Uganda.
Okay. And you've been pastoring there since you came here, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, when I moved to Uganda, I continued to serve God, and I went to school in Uganda. I went to school for ministry, like for 2 years. Then I was ordained a minister of word. I became a pastor. Then I worked. Then I went back again to school. And in 2009, by God's grace, I founded a church, a ministry, Unity International Ministries in Uganda. So in 2015, God told me now, enough is enough to America. But,
okay.
Of course, God told me how many years I will spend in America. That's why I say always, after studies, I'm likely to go back.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a mission to accomplish. I have the years to spend in America and to go back for God's work. How many years? I will not tell you.
It's some certain amount. So how did you hear about Calvin Seminary?
That's another miracle.
Hmm.
When I reached here, from Uganda, I studied public administration. I went to the university. I did the law first. I got an associate degree. Then I said, this law, there's so much to do. Litigating, filing in courts, deceiving, stealing. I said, no. This one won't be good with me. I worked slightly with the companies of advocates, and I saw what was happening. I said, no.
Were you still pastoring while you were in school, or you took a break from pastoring to go to school?
I took a break.
Okay.
I took a break. Yep. So, and by then I had no ministry of, I can call my ministry. I was under another pastor.
Okay.
Taking a break was simple, and I went to school. Then I said, no, this one is not good for a pastor. Going to courts, and sometimes you deceive because you are defending someone. You want him to win. In that process of litigating, you bring a lot of lies, and you repent when you reach home, but it does not go well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, no, I went back for a bachelor's degree in public administration because I said, as a pastor, maybe I can be a good administrator. I can teach others how to lead other people. So I went to school again. I did a bachelor's degree, public admin. Then when I completed, this time again, God told me, now on Jan again, said, how do I go to America? Because I don't have money. I'm not rich. I'm not a politician. How do I go? God said, you are my son. America is not far from me. It's far from you, but I can take you there. Then in a miraculous way, we came. Together with my children, four of them.
And your wife as well?
And my wife as well. All of us, we are here. Then when we reached here, I felt the need again of going to school. I went to Grand Valley. I went to Cornerstone. Cornerstone was quicker to admit me. Then as I was there, I was supposed to go for orientation. I met a man called Kennedy. You know Kennedy? He studies here. Maybe you know him.
Oh.
Kennedy.
Did he come before you?
He came before me.
Oh.
Yeah, he came before me. Today he's in the fourth year.
Okay.
Then we meet somewhere we had never met. We had never met. He looks at me. I look at him. Say, how are you? How are you? Habari nzuri. He speaks Kiswahili. I speak Kiswahili too. That's another gift I have. I speak many languages.
Wow.
That I can use in Africa and all over the world. It's French, English, Kiswahili, and the other many languages of Africa. So, Kendi looks at me and say, hey, come close. What are you doing? And why are you hiding? I said, man, why are you telling me that? No, he said, no. You can't do that. I said, what? No, you can't do that. What are you going to do? You have to continue to serve God. I said, I'm serving him. What are you after? I said, please, don't joke. Here you are. You have to go to seminary. You have to study. And you have to continue to serve God. Do you understand? I had never told him who I was. I had never met him before.
Wow.
This is how the divine providence and connection came.
Yeah.
And I said, where is the seminary? It was in August. The admissions were done. But he told me, go and look for someone called Alan. I will never forget Alan because this is someone I was told. And it is another surprise. Then I came here. I don't know. I think I drove. By then I was driving. I drove. I pulled here. Then I'm wandering here. I don't know where to enter. I'm just looking through the doors, through the windows. Guess what? Guess who sees me? A young man comes, opens for me, and he greets me. He says, hey, how are you? Then I said, I'm looking for Aaron. He said, what are you looking for? I want to study. But they told me Aaron is the one who admits people.
Yeah.
They said, hey, follow me. We moved. He opened the office. He sat. He said, here you are. I'm Aaron.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So he said, he was so amazed too, because I was very bold.
Mm-hmm.
I was very bold, as if I'm looking for something I lost, as if I'm looking for something I'm sure that I have to get. He said, now it's late. I said, no, ma'am, I want to study. I'm a pastor and I have to continue and I have to be a pastor. He said, okay, go and do this. I did. Then I sent my application. I was admitted. That's it. I had to send my documents to somewhere, Wisconsin, where they equate those foreign documents. Yeah, I worked with them. They called the university where I studied from. They sent papers there, my credentials, and they equated them. Then they sent them here, and it was okay to study and to start my master's. That's it. That's how I'm here.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What a great story.
Yeah. That's how I'm here. I was just admitted like that, and I was given a scholarship like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here, and we didn't have a house. And by that time, someone came in and they offered the house where we have been. Unfortunately, they are selling it. We are moving out. But by that time, it was a miracle to get it.
Yeah.
So everything has been so much of God's hand and God's power and God's mercy and God's grace.
Yeah.
So we have been really seeing God's hand upon our lives, upon our children. We have a graduate from Grand Rapids Christian School. our daughter also is graduating as a senior from there. Another one is a freshman there. Another boy is in middle school in seventh grade. So we have been seeing God, and we have been so much blessed, not only in this country, but back home, not only back home, even the forest.
Yeah.
We were blessed.
Yeah. One thing I really appreciate about your story, Anastas, is exactly that, like seeing God's faithfulness in the forest, living in the forest for an entire year. And then also when you came to America and got enrolled in school and all of this sort of like institutional documents and things you have to fill out, there too you see the hand of God, right?
Yes.
There too you see God's grace in everything. And that really
it's
speaks
so,
to me.
Yeah, it's so amazing, because it would have been possible for me to come here. I don't see Alan. I go back.
Mm-hmm.
I come back again. Time is rushing. And And it's not
getting
something really... It's not something really I wanted to do. Remember, I was just, you know, meandering. It was so stunning and so amazing to meet Kennedy from nowhere, who becomes a prophet of what he does not know, and what he does not know, you know.
practically, he didn't know what he was talking about, but I was so touched. And in a miraculous way, I'm here.
Let's talk a little bit about your conversion experience. Did you experience, and you can feel free to share as much or as little as you want because it's personal to you. But I'm curious, that kind of born-again experience, was there inner healing needed from witnessing a war, a death? Like, what was that like? Like encountering God
It is so amazing, and it's really a great question. The time God called me and spoke to me in a very, very clear way, I had a problem, a very serious problem. And me to agree that he was really God who spoke to me, that problem went off. I was suffering from ulcers, and whatever I could eat, I could vomit.
Oh, wow.
So I could not eat like cassava. I could not eat like potatoes. The food, I could be so selective, and if I eat the food the stomach does not want because of the ulcers, I would vomit it. Sometimes to an extent of vomiting blood, it was terrible. Then eventually, among other things, the other voice, whom I call God, told me, say, I will heal you. So it was another amazing thing in my life. And it is true. All from that time, I've never suffered from ulcers.
Wow.
Total healing.
Wow.
Then I became okay up to today. I became okay. Someone who would have seen me before could not believe that I was the one.
Yeah.
After all that time, and after the time I passed through in the forest and other things, actually, if it would have happened when I was not healed by God's grace, I think I would have died.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think being born again, it's not a work of someone. It's God's work, according to me, because I didn't put any effort. And you can't put any effort to be born again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just because like there is nothing you can do.
Yeah. You can, I guess in the same way you can't have effort to be born the first time.
Exactly. That's
it's not your effort, it's someone else's.
That's a good analogy. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So I don't know whether I have answered your question.
Yeah.
But when I became so close to God and I changed the ways of looking at Him and the ways of trusting Him and the ways of understanding His ways, then I became totally a new person.
Oh,
the old anastas went off, and the new anastas came in, and just I started a new journey and a new life altogether.
Yeah, I love hearing you quote Paul that way, the old is gone, the new has come, because for you, it that's a real, like, actual night and day experience, you know?
Yes.
And so what a testimony. I'm also curious, was there an emotional component to healing? I think you've mentioned in class before you've lost family members. And
yes, that is so stunning. If I can tell you, you know, this psychological test we do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of course,
just for people listening, every MDiv student, first week of school is,
yes, you have to pass
has
through.
A very intimidating 3-hour long psychological evaluation.
And you go for evaluation, you go first time, you go second time.
Yeah.
Of course, whoever listens to this story, one, will have a fear about me.
Yeah.
Two, will not understand how I cope up with all that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. But I am the way you see me. I'm not mentally disturbed, and I don't have hallucinations. Mm. I'm normal, as normal as any other person should be.
Yeah.
But it taught me to be resilient.
Yeah,
it taught me to be strong in God. It taught me to know that this life is not ours, and anything can happen anytime, and there is nothing greater than trusting, believing, having confidence in God. Because I saw many people who were powerful who died like dogs. I saw many people who were doctors, educated, rich, name it, who reached a level where they could not have anything in their lives except depending on God. I learned to depend on God like I can just be
without clothes, without food, without sleeping, without anything, I can survive anything by God's grace. That's what I learned. My dad died. I didn't bury him. I don't know where he was buried. I have siblings who died. I didn't bury them. I didn't see where they were buried. I saw many people. These eyes you see here, I would have been traumatized. I slept with the dead people. I came out with blood. I had to clean the blood and continue the journey. I saw men being killed. I saw children dying when they are on the road. One day we were moving in the forest. We saw like 4 children in the mud who were abandoned. You can't blame their mothers if at all they were there. Either mothers died or mothers left them there. None of us could pick any because we didn't know what was going to happen next minute, next hour. But I remember as if it was yesterday, those children were in the mud praying there, who has been abandoned in the forest, who will die eventually because nobody will take care of him. I saw many people, when they shoot and when you hear guns, everybody will save his or her life. I saw people being stepped on, dying when they are crying. I saw people falling into the rivers, waving to people, dying when you are looking at them. But why am I the way I am? Because of God's comfort, because of God's word, because of God's mercy. I just trust in God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God who can comfort me, God who can protect me. I gave nothing to live, so I just give him honor, and I trust him, and I believe in him, and it has made me not to condemn anyone or to blame anyone or to victimize anyone. Whatever happened, happened. Whatever was, was. I can't say the other people are responsible or these people are responsible. I saw what I saw to be able to give a testimony today. I lived what I lived to be able to strengthen others today. So that's it. I don't know whether I have answered your question.
Definitely. And then some. I'm so grateful for all this testimony. I'm imagining someone listening to your testimony of faith right now who's in a very dark situation themselves, yeah, thinking, how can I participate in something that Anastas is describing so confidently? How can I be free? I wonder if you have something to say to that person.
Trust God.
Yeah.
Put all your trust in God, not in your mother, not in your father, not in your education, not in your husband, not in your wife, not in your big family or small family. Just trust God. Whatever you can pass through, I believe there is a reason. I just reached a level of saying, God, why did you accept all this to happen?
Yeah.
You'd have modeled me. You'd have chosen me. You'd have called me without making me pass through all this hardship. Why did you do all that? But God gave me Deuteronomy chapter 8, where he said, I did all this to test your heart, to see whether you will be able to know that I'm your God. Even though it happened, I protected you. I was with you. You didn't die, and I will use you, and my hand will always be upon you. Whoever will touch you will be touching the apple of my eye, and I will be your God forever. So I would encourage whoever listens to what I'm saying. Sometimes it can be big, huge, sometimes terrifying, sometimes not even comprehensible, because sometimes these are spiritual things. So when you put them in practical life, it might not work. Because if someone tells you, I spend a whole year without eating normal food, without clothing, without shoes, without what, without drinking water, if someone tells you I drank water, what can I tell you? Because people are dying here, there is a river here. You understand that when the body is in decomposition state, the water you have to take with your hands, you will see the finger of someone who is dead. You remove the finger, you put it aside, and you take water. These are things that happened. This is life we lived. But we are still moving on. We are still praising God. We are still saying hallelujah. We are still standing in front of others and we give testimony because we overcome each and everything with His power, His blood, and what? And the power of the testimony.
Yeah.
Yes. So I would say, be strengthened, be encouraged in the Lord, read the word, pray unceasingly, have confidence, not in anything. I tell you, it was terrible. I had a family. I had started. And things were good. We had a reason to believe in other things than in God, because sometimes don't believe in something you don't see. But we were proven wrong. It's wrong to trust things which can vanish today or tomorrow. Trust in something which can be there forever. And God is not something, but God is always there when even you don't see Him, when even you don't touch Him, when even you don't hear Him, mm-hmm. because sometimes you can call upon Him and He does not respond and He does not even make sign of being there.
Mm-hmm.
But God is always there. So whoever will listen to me, whoever can be listening to me, getting access to what we are saying, I will say one thing. Trust God. That's it.
This is totally speaking to me because I think this is some stuff that I'm like wrestling with in my own life. And I feel it's embarrassing, right? Because like I'm American. I've never been through anything that you've been through. Like I complain about having to do dishes or having to clean or having to take care of my baby, right? Cephas, when he's being crazy and crying, or just being pregnant and dealing with morning sickness and just, you know, worrying about, oh, am I going to have money in what, like 7 months when we have to move out of seminary housing kind of thing? Am I going to get a job? Is my husband going to get a job in ministry? Like these are the things that I worry about. And it's like, I get so easily discouraged from that. But like you have been through all of the things that you've been through, which are way harder than I think what a lot of us Americans can say
we've ever
been through. But you, I mean, so me and Anastas, for listeners, we were in the same mentor group under Pastor Dave.
Yes.
So I kind of know you a little bit.
Yes.
And you just always come off so joyful to me. Like you just do not come off as this kind of grumpy complainer guy with a chip on his shoulder. And if I didn't hear your testimony, I mean, I've heard a little bit about it before. Yeah. But I wouldn't have guessed that you've ever gone through anything like this. And so just the idea of trusting God, I guess, it's difficult for a lot of us.
Yes.
Especially when you're not promised comfort in this life. And so I think it's right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the ones in the fire. And they don't want to worship. And they're like, well, God can save us.
Yes.
But even if He doesn't, we still won't
exactly.
bow down.
Yes.
And so... you had a promise from God to protect you.
Yes.
And He did. So you really held
Hallelujah.
On to that.
Yes.
And praise God for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, for people who don't have that specific word from God, because we're not promised an easy life,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Like, that's hard. It's like, I don't have, this sounds like I'm really doubting, but I know that God is with me and God will never leave me nor forsake me. Like, God will be with me through all of my trials in life.
Sure.
He's Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Like, I don't know if my husband's going to die tomorrow.
Exactly.
I don't know if my child's going to die.
You know,
so.
Yes, there's something I wanted to say. We tend to think on the behalf of God, and we think that what is bad, even the eyes of God. And we think that when things are not moving well, then God is being maybe unfair. It's not true. It's not true. There is a reason for everything. Sometimes what we call good might not be good.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes we can go and look for a job you call good, maybe you miss it. And when you go home, you don't even eat food. And you ask God, you know I need a job, and you see. But if you wake up and you hear the news saying that the other office collapsed and everybody there died, that's the time we say, oh, God, thank you. You know, you really love me. I would have died. Let me tell you how God is so amazing. There's something also I have to thank God for. You remember the crash, the Ethiopian Airlines, and the people died. That aeroplane basically was moving. And when I went to Africa, I would have used that aeroplane to go to Kampala. And shortly after I had come back, it had to collapse and it had to kill people. So this is the same aeroplane you use today, and tomorrow it collapses, it kills people. Then this is where you see again the power of God, and you see his promise still going on in your life. Hmm. Stop complaining. Start praising.
I'm working on it, honestly.
Exactly.
It's like rejoice in the Lord always.
You know what? I have realized that when you stop complaining and you start praising and rejoicing, Satan goes away. He says, this one, I cannot manage him. Have you ever, okay, in this culture of America, they don't beat children, but in our culture, they beat children. Then when you beat a child 1-2 and you say a child is not very crying, is not bothered, you leave him. You say, if I continue to beat this one, I will kill him. You get the analogy, yes.
Right,
now,
right.
It's only when you feed Satan that he will become fatter to torment you the more. If you ignore him and you look at it as God's power to lift you up, you will be lifted up.
Wow.
That's it. That's how I have been seeing faith working. I came here to America in a miraculous way. Many people want to come to America, but they don't. Many people change even who they are to come to America, but they don't. But I said, no, I'm Rwandese, I'll be Rwandese. If I will go to America, I will go. If God has opened the doors for me, nobody will close them.
Anastas, thank you so much for this testimony. This whole story, even at the end, practical tips for spiritual warfare, that really speaks to me as well, actually. Yeah, I've been just noticing that in my own life, too. The more you complain or the more you get sucked in, I was just having resentment in my heart pop up last night, and I couldn't sleep. And then I just started praying for the person and like just praying like just blessing, just like total blessing for the person. And then it went away. And I was like, man, the devil's not going to be tempting me with resentment if every time I'm tempted to resent him, I just start blessing him and praying God's blessings over his life.
That's true.
So that really speaks to me and affirms me. One last question that I ask everybody and on the podcast, but for you in particular, I'm interested because you don't come from this culture. So you have a very keen eye, I'm sure, into seminary culture, a fresh pair of eyes. But my question that I ask everybody is, what are some things at the seminary that you feel like you'd love people to press into more that they're not pressing into more? Not to put you on the spot. you have a knowing smile.
Let me get my list out.
Okay. You know, everybody who was not raised in this system, maybe like people who come from like Korea or China or Africa, when they reach here, they see things in different way.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, we start blaming everything we see. These people don't pray very well. How do they live like this? You go to fast, then they are eating. What are they doing? You know? Praying, they are short. Someone 20 minutes. Prayer, 2 minutes. What's wrong with them? So, what they do it. Then another surprising thing is, of course, everybody does what is his or hers. So individualistic.
Mm.
So nobody wants to know you, to enter your problems. So everybody does what he does. You're in a seminary, you are learning to be a pastor. We are taught a lot, but we practice little.
Mm.
So that's the culture of maybe North America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because nobody wants to know what the other one is passing through. Everybody's here to study. You go, you come, you go, you come, you go, you come. So that much, I really found it so alarming.
Mm-hmm.
That social openness, you know, feeling free. You know, it is spoken wordly, but it's not practiced.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't see it. That is my observation.
Yeah,
yes.
Like a real sense. You're saying you don't see a real sense of community. People walking alongside
each
other.
They really try, mm-hmm. but you find You find everybody lives his life.
Yes.
You find everybody does not want the other one to know what he's passing through.
Mm-hmm.
It's my business. It's not your business.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it is my business because when you are hurt, I'm hurt in actual sense. But it will not be that way. But I think that's how the setting is. We have to learn to appreciate some of the things we think they are not okay. By the time you get used to them, you appreciate them. You say, okay, right. That's how it is. I have to do like this. This is not my culture. I have to cope up with the culture. And whatever is good, I will grasp. And what I see that cannot work for me, I will leave it aside.
Right.
But generally, this is a seminar to train pastors. What I would love to advise or to tell people is to put more effort to make sure that the atmosphere looks not like any secular academic institution outside there, but a seminary.
Mm-hmm.
A seminary where people, you know, you look at them and say, oh, these are really seminarians. These are people who are going to serve other people outside there. These are people who are going to snatch people out of the mouth of the devil outside there. But if you don't do that, then there is no difference. That's one. Two, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be another way of encouraging people to have that close relationship with God. We are having a close relationship with God through books.
Mm-hmm.
Books are many, books are beautiful, and books are cherished, and books are warmed, and books are kissed every morning, every evening. But we don't have that time again to go together in a prayer room and a group of four or five people having that time to groan, you know, to cry to God because of what is happening. What is happening, we are responsible. We are partly responsible, be it political, social, whatever. We are partly responsible if we look at them and we bypass. We have to groan. We have to cry to God. We have really to pray to God so that God can do something. We should be understanding the importance of prayer as a community, as a seminary, than any other person outside there. We don't need to make voices but we need to have that good relationship. I know it is there. I'm not saying it is not there. But we have to, you know, to improve on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those two are very keen felt needs here, even as a Western person. A realer sense of community, intimacy, knowing each other, journeying together, struggling together, and bringing that to God together in prayer, and fostering a sense of individual prayer. Those are both such good words for us, Anastas, and
Thank you.
Blessing, actually, for us to hear.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like it when Anastas prays for me. It feels like he's bringing heaven down to earth.
Just feel, you know, I feel there is no joke in prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Anastas.
Thank you.
This might be a weird way to end a podcast, but if you want to pray for people listening, for us, just to close this time out, it feels like it's been a sacred time.
Yes, for
And so if you'd like to close this time in prayer, I would love to have you do that.
Thank you. So before I pray, I want to really thank you so much for having invited me here. Thank you so much for serving God in this capacity. It's so good. I'm so appreciative.
Oh, man.
And thank you so much. And always call me.
Yeah.
When you need me, I'm available.
Okay. Yay.
Free of charge.
Free of charge for now.
Oh, man. I really appreciate that, Anastas. Yeah. And I just feel like it's been such an honor talking to you.
Thank you.
And so thank you very much. And for listeners, too, they've been able to hear your voice now. And I'm sure they know who you are. They've seen you around. But to extend that invitation that you just gave us to the listeners, right? Like, you'd love to have community. You'd love to hear what people are going through, to share struggles together.
To pray together.
To pray together.
Yes.
So feel free to approach Anastas in the student center or wherever and
initiate
something
together.
Like that.
Things will happen. Jesus can heal you through prayer. Jesus can give you scholarship through prayer, can give you a kid through prayer, can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we can pray. Everything can be healed. Cancer can get healed. AIDS can get healed. Many things can be dealt with. Because God can show himself for his glory. Let's pray.
Yeah, let's do that.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time, this moment. Thank you so much for Christian and a colleague.
thank you so much for Calvin Seminary. Thank you so much for all the colleagues we studied together. Thank you so much for our professors who prepare us to be good leaders in the future, to go out and preach the gospel and change the communities. Thank you so much for everything we have shared. I saw your hand upon my life. I saw your power. I saw your grace. I saw your favor. And I pray that whoever is listening to us, Lord, if he is passing through the hardship and he has heard my testimony, let him relax and trust you and believe in you and know that tomorrow will be better than today and will be good for him or her to continue to praise you even amidst of problems, of hardships. Let him or her continue to praise you and worship you because you are the only one who can rescue us, who can bless us, and who can keep us, and who can protect us. Continue to protect each one of us in this community of Calvary Seminary. I pray for our people outside there. I pray for this community. I pray for this country. I pray for everybody, Lord, that you will continue to show yourself and you will continue to bless us and you will continue to inspire us and you will continue to make us better people. As we call you our Father, you will continue to show that you are really Father and you will make us your good children. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Anastas.
Thank you so much.